Okay, there they are, the team. The next item, number six, proposed land transactions. This is a decision. Dan Budd, our real estate section manager. What do you have for us today?
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the Commission. On today's agenda, the Department is recommending the purchase of two properties. The first item is the purchase of 1,144 acres for the Northern Blue Mountain Bull Trout Recovery Project in Sauk County. This project was reviewed and approved through the Department's Lands 2020 process. This is a partnership project with the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, the Mule Deer Foundation, and the Inland Northwest Wildlife Council. The property is located approximately 13 miles southwest of the town of Asotin at the confluence of Asotin Creek and Charlie Creek. This purchase supports the Asotin Model Watershed Plan. It also supports the Snake Region Salmon Recovery Plan by protecting habitat for federally listed Chinook salmon and bull trout. The drainage has been listed as a wild steelhead refuge and is being used as a reference site for native wild steelhead. Charlie Creek has been identified as an intensively monitored watershed where the results of habitat restoration work will be evaluated against reference sites on other Sauk Creek tributaries. The majority of the intended restoration work will take place on this property. Both Blue Mountain Steppe and Canyon Grassland Steppe vegetation zones occur on this property. This habitat type is significant in the Department's sharp-tailed grouse restoration plans on the Asotin Wildlife Area. The Asotin Wildlife Area maintains a high level of diversity with over 130 species of birds and 60 species of mammals. Priority species include golden eagle, bald eagle, elk, beaver, and mule deer. The property is a significant inholding within the Department's wildlife area and will be managed as part of the Weatherly Unit of the Asotin Wildlife Area. The annual operation and maintenance costs are estimated at $18,315, and the annual payment in lieu of property tax to Asotin County is estimated at $1,300. Funding for the purchase of the property is being provided by a grant from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and donated funds from the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, the Mule Deer Foundation, and the Inland Northwest Wildlife Council. The second item is the purchase of 49 acres for the Meadow Watershed Project in Okanagan County. This project was also approved through the Department's Lands 2020 evaluation process. The project objectives are to protect riparian stream habitat for endangered fish stocks, link existing public lands to secure important wildlife corridors, and to protect big game habitat. The Geetsman property is located approximately 4 miles south of Twisp and fronts on the Meadow River for approximately 2,000 feet. The site provides significant riparian and in-stream habitat that benefits listed salmonids, including bull trout, upper Columbia, spring Chinook, and summer steelhead. The property connects department ownership along the west side of the Meadow River and contributes to Cross Valley Migratory Corridor for mule deer and wide-ranging wildlife. The property will be managed as part of the Golden Doe Unit of the Meadow Wildlife Area. The annual operation and maintenance costs are estimated at $800. And the annual payment in lieu of property tax to Okanagan County is estimated at $250. Funding for the purchase of this property is being provided by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service under the Section 6 program. The Department recommends the Commission approve the land transactions as presented, and I'd be happy to address any questions.
Okay. Any questions? Commissioner Schmitten.
Thank you, Chair. And as always, Dan, thank you very much. And I was just noticing, and I did some quick math, the differential between the prices of the two One, you're buying 1,144 acres for $450 an acre. The other, if my math is right, you're buying 49.14 acres for $491 or $10,000 an acre. The second piece, the Methow River, and that piece fits nicely some with other apartment lands. It has riverfront, but I guess I'm astounded that the value of waterfront on the Methow River is $10,000 an acre now. Can you help me there? Then secondly, my question is, when federal funds are used in this type of purchase, if I'm right, it usually requires two appraisals, a primary and then a secondary. Is that the case?
Thank you, Commissioner. I'd like to state first that, yes, we too are astounded at the value of land. Methow River frontage has been one of those properties that's held its value consistently. The property also does include, though, and that's not 10,000 acres, not uncommon for Methow River frontage in that location. It's not uncommon. That is what it's appraising for and selling for currently. The other thing that's involved is there are some improvements on this property, not high value improvements, but some improvements on this property that do add to the value of the property and the appraised value. On your second question, the appraisal process on federally funded transactions is that the department goes through its normal appraisal process using the federal rules for appraisal, and that is hiring an independent fee appraiser to do the appraisal work. We do not do the appraisal work in-house. We hire an independent fee appraiser that follows the federal guidelines and is licensed to do so. Once that appraisal is done, it is reviewed. We have on staff in our agency Sean Kies, who is an MAI, a member of the Appraisers Institute designated. He is our chief appraiser. He does a review, an on-the-ground review of the comparable sales and the analysis that leads to the value in the appraisal. Once he has agreed to the appraisal, which is not a rubber stamp, there's many, many times he ships work back to the appraiser for further analysis or explanation or things. But once he's passed his review on the appraisal, it's then sent to Portland to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, who further conducts review work on the appraisal. And ultimately, they are the ones that either say yay or nay on the value, and that's the number that we begin our negotiations with and ultimately end up buying the property with.
Help. Chair, let me just say thank you, and that was very helpful to know that process. Thank you.
Commissioner Caney.
Thank you, Chair Wecker. And I know I've asked this question before on different purchases, but it's mostly because I know when I go home next week in the newspaper, it will read WDFW purchases land for three or four or whatever times the assessed value. And just to clear it up that, you know, properties are sold, and a lot of times they'll get the word in their market value as well. So to me, you know, appraised value is what these are based on. What a property sells for is its market value, and assessed value is always lower than either the appraised or the market. So, but for the record, I would like to know the comps that are typically done to come up with a fair and adequate appraised value that sets the market value. Do you have any recollection of what those were? I mean, you said it sells for about $10,000, but usually there's several comps that are used to set the value of this purchase price, which is realistic and fair and part of the process. I'd just be curious if you had that.
Thank you. Yeah, I'd like to address that. I did not read this appraisal report, so I don't know the number of comps involved in it, but I'm certain that there are over five. I mean, typically we'll find 5 to 10 comparable sales setting the market. One or two sales don't set the market. And this is appraised fair market value, not assessed value. And assessed value can be off for a number of reasons. And one of the reasons the reported assessed value by a county is because a property is being held in a special use class that reduces the tax rate that reduces the amount of tax that a landowner pays. When they hold it in a special use class, It reduces the value held by the assessors, or printed out or published by the assessor's office, but then the same millage rate applies, and so that's how they end up paying a lower tax rate rather than the higher rate. We have found in many counties that the assessed value is maybe a third of what fair market value appraisals are coming out at, and this is certainly true in Okanagan County.
Thank you.
Commissioner Perry?
I noticed, Dan, on the Soton County property, that the by the time you get the payment in lieu of taxes and the O&M, it adds up to about $20,000. In the purchase price or in the purchase agreement, other people, other entities involved, is there money for O&M to cover at least part of this?
Yeah, that's a good question. The funding that is being provided, the donation funds from the sportsmen's clubs, is towards the purchase. The federal funding is also towards the purchase, and that's considered capital funds, but with it, which don't technically go towards operation or recurring costs. However, within that initial funding, there is funding available for fencing, surveying, and what's considered initial weed control, which may take 2 to 3 years actually to apply. But in a situation where we have problems, we do have funding within the grants to take care of the weeds going in the door and do some fencing and surveying as needed. Ongoing O&M will be the responsibility of the department.
Yeah, I guess that's what concerns me. I appreciate the fact that there would be some extra money available to do that initial maintenance, particularly the weed control probably in that country. But that is going to be a burden on the program once that runs out. And I'm all in favor of the land purchase, but I do worry about where the funding is going to come from to keep it up to the standards of best wildlife habitat and also being good neighbors in the countryside. I guess that's all I'll say about that right there.
Commissioner Duvia?
Thanks, Madam Chair. But it says on the Soton County that they indicated support for the county commissioners. And then on the second one, the Okanagan, that the concept was shared and that reviewed. But in neither case, do we know what the opinion is of the county commissioners? And
it perhaps could vary by commissioner in the county what their personal opinion is. In the Okanagan County situation, Regional Director Dennis Beach and Special Assistant Dave Bertel have been meeting with the county commissioners and ongoing on this, particularly the Met-Out project, and they're very aware of it. There is, of course, some desire in Okanagan County for us not to buy land by some of the population, and there is a strong desire by some of the population that we do buy land. We would not be buying land in either one of these counties if the population and their elected leaders were vehemently opposed to it.
Being aware of that, particularly in Okanagan, and that we do have pretty consistent, frequent communication with them on these, that there isn't an opinion, that it's only shared and reviewed by them, but doesn't say anything whether they're opposed or against.
I don't have a letter saying that they welcome it, but we don't have a letter saying that they don't buy any more either. It would depend on the commissioner and their constituents, the portion of the county that they're in and their constituents, whether the support would be there.
Director Anderson.
Thanks, Madam Chair. As we've talked before and as Dan noted, we've been taking some extraordinary measures to try to improve communications with Okanagan County commissioners, sharing with them our objectives relative to acquisitions, areas of focus, and the justifications behind those. And we have been sharing with them, as the green sheet notes, the
the properties that we were considering acquiring. Oftentimes, that doesn't lead to a, matter of fact, most times, it doesn't lead to a commission action, as in a vote of support or opposition. So for us to characterize it, their position as being either in support or opposition when they haven't taken a formal action, I don't think would be appropriate. So I think what we're saying here is we've shared it with them. They've had an opportunity, if they wanted to, take a position as a county in opposition or support. I think they would have done that. We would have communicated that to you.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I have a second question. And this is probably, for me, maybe other people are a lot brighter than I am. But we're buying a $500,000 piece of property, and our payment in lieu of taxes is $250,000. And that's, I thought we had basic payment in lieu of taxes was about an 80% of what the taxes normally would be. Does a $500,000 property get $300 worth of taxes?
We're paying, it's not based as much the estimate, and Commissioner, I'll share, this is an estimate. We don't know what the ultimate open space tax rate will be on this property. But in Okanagan County, it's approximately $5 per acre that we're paying. And so 50 acres times $5 an acre comes out to $250, and that's the best guess that we can make at this point in time.
So the taxes have nothing to do with value. It's just number of acres?
They do have something to do with value when they get into the open space rate. When the county elects to receive an amount equal to what open space property is, then it does have to do with value, and we'll have to see what that, if they put this in that open space, and if that's, and what the value comes out at. But at this point, the best we can do is estimate an average of what we're paying per acre in the county.
And you assume you're kind of sure that's going to stay there at 250?
I wouldn't bet on it staying at 250, but I don't know that it wouldn't. I don't know that it's.
What would you expect it to be?
It could be anywhere from 70 cents an acre, which would be the lower rate, the fixed rate that they could pay. And I do not, I guess I just have to say, I do not know what it could go up to at this, what their millage rate and what the value would apply to, where it could go to.
Thank you.
Commissioner Kenney?
Thank you, Chair Wecker. It says that it was a combination of alfalfa and pasture land, mm-hmm. yet it hasn't been ranched for several years. I'm curious, does the water right stay with the property? Have they already lost the water right, or does it come with water? And if it does, what are the plans for that water?
It is my belief that the water is, it has been too many years since it has been used. We haven't confirmed that yet at this point in time, but it has not been irrigated for a number of years. And so we will continue to pursue that, perhaps get it back under some irrigation, determine if we can retain those water rights, and if so, that would probably be what we would continue to do. But I do have a fear that we won't, that it's been too long.
Has it been longer than 5 years since that's been?
I don't have the answer on that. I can get it. I'll get it back to the commission.
Thank you.
Commissioner Carpenter was next.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm assuming on this one piece of property, the Asotin piece, perhaps it's a question I shouldn't even have to ask, but I just want to understand. We got partners, the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, the Mule Deer Foundation, and the Inland Northwest Wildlife Council. So I'm assuming that this will be open public land for hunting and
yes.
No restrictions. Is that the norm?
The norm.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Commissioner Perry?
Thank you. Particularly the Asotin Creek property, fairly large. You said it was grassland, shrub step sort of country. And I know the director has mentioned to us that like to keep working lands working if there's farming or ranching activity on those lands, particularly on this one, maybe the Methow one too. Is there plans to continue some kind of leasing operation? Agricultural land use to maintain habitat?
The I don't have the answer on that, whether we will do something on that. The previous grazing that was done on this was done with some horses. A packer was bringing some horses in for grazing, and I understand that's...
This is on the Asotin Creek?
On the Asotin Creek piece, yes. The probably because of the watershed there, any grazing that would take place on that would be very limited because of the terrain.
Thank you.
Okay. Other questions? We have one person who signed up for public input, and that is Jack Fields. We have 3 minutes, and...
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the Commission. For the record, Jack Field with the Washington Cattlemen's Association, and thank you, Commissioner Perry, for bringing up the Cook property. That's where I'd like to focus, and as you had talked about maintaining working landscapes, I would hope that if the Commission does go forward with this purchase, there is a cow-calf producer that has a permit on the U.S. Forest Service, and they have accessed with the crop. They've crossed this property for I don't know how many years. They're very concerned that your purchase will then eliminate their crossing permit. They are unable to get trucks in to their permit, and it would effectively hamstring them. I would ask that the Commission include as a caveat or part of purchase that you would maintain a crossing permit as long as a grazing lease or permit is maintained on the forest adjacent. There is also a great deal of interest from some cow-calf producers in the area. They had interest in grazing, but with the department purchase and with the attitudes in the watershed from the department on grazing, that's unfortunately hasn't been something that's been very welcomed. We would strongly recommend maintaining that because that is a vital part of the landscape. And with the department continuing to purchase more property, it makes it tougher and tougher for ranchers and farmers to compete for very valuable ag lands. But again, I would urge that the Commission insist that a crossing permit be incorporated to allow that operation to continue through. And I would also guarantee that there would be a great deal of interest from within the area for grazing if that is indeed something. Because again, these lands, the reason they're in the shape they are and why you're buying them from the private sector is because they've been managed. They didn't become this way by accident. And your management figure, I about fell out of my chair to think you could manage 49 acres for $800 a year. That is, again, the biggest problem that the private sector has with the state buying land, that there aren't two nickels to rub together for management down the street. And that breeds a huge divide between landowners, and I would also urge that you uphold your responsibility as a neighbor when it comes to fixing fences and notify neighbors of activities that the department will be doing on your side of the fence. So we want to be good neighbors too, but it gets very frustrating when it comes time for weed control, fence repair, and the day-to-day activities. There's only one person that seems to be doing it, and that's the private sector. I'd be happy to answer any questions. Heck, we still I haven't been beeped out. I better keep talking. I would also urge your and be very supportive of you talking with commissioners and landowners about the flavor of what folks think as the department purchases more private land. I do think everybody I talk to, they're not doing backflips that the department is purchasing more land just due to the track record.
Thank you. Okay. Commissioner Smith.
Again, being a novice in this area, but it's my understanding that that property is available for purchase. It's on the open market, right? So if there was such keen interest in the private sector to acquire it, I mean, that in essence, this is the private sector working, that one entity buys it, another entity doesn't buy it, but it's open market.
Well, I guess to some degree you're correct, but is the department, and please clarify, when you purchase, do you just simply pay market, or are you able to go above market? You're able to bring cash to the table financing-wise? I mean, that's one of the questions that folks have out there, that around the idea of 5 or 10% above, it's either appraised or market value, and I don't mean to misquote if I'm not correct, but I am just about certain. I thought that the department had flexibility in purchasing key tracts, but the challenge, again, in buying it is one thing, managing it is another. I could spend every day this summer taking you to parcels that have weeds, poor fences, no management, and that's the frustration. It's not just the fact that the department is growing, and you see...
Okay, thank you. That suffices to answer my question.
Okay, thank you. Director Anderson, did you want to just explain the position?
Well, I'd like to ask Dan to come back up and address the issue of fair market value. I know we do have, in some cases, the ability to go above fair market value, but my understanding is that we have rarely done that.
Mr. Fields is correct in his recollection of the department having some flexibility in the purchase price. When the funding is provided by the Recreation and Conservation Office, when it's state funding, there is a policy within that organization that they will, on critical properties, allow the state to negotiate a transaction as much as 10% above appraised value. That has become less and less, number one, less and less necessary and less viable because of Recreation Conservation Office's position on paying that. The second thing that I want to make sure that's understood on this is in the appraisal process, we do not allow our fee appraisers to look and use government sales of land to set fair market value because we do not consider that they are arm's length transactions completely. We're looking for private market activity to make the determination of fair market value, not government land purchases. When we're dealing with federal funds, we do not have the flexibility. The appraised value, as reviewed and approved by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, is the top dollar that we can pay.
Okay. That clarifies nicely. Commissioner Duvia?
Thanks, Madam Chair. But could you make a comment on allowing to have this cattleman access to the grazing permit to the property?
I was not aware of the crossing activity, but if that has been a recurring activity, I am fairly certain the department would continue to do so, and if the commission felt that that was an appropriate thing to put with this transaction, I don't believe that the agency would be opposed to it. We are not intent on putting cattlemen out of business. The economy is tough enough for them as it is.
I know we probably can't guarantee it forever, but is there any plans that we have with this property that crossing would interfere with?
Not that I'm aware of.
Commissioner Jennings?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Usually for something like that, there's actually a legal easement to allow that. My concern would be if there's not such an easement in place, what are the costs to the department for that activity if they're using the road and it's getting worn down, that we have to maintain it above and beyond what we would have to do normally? That's why we often sell an easement so that they have that right.
In the cattle trailing or crossing, once in a while, I've run across a few easements for that, but it's not common.
Okay.
The other thing is under SEPA, if an activity has not been going on a property, or NEPA, if it's federal funding, we have a difficult time beginning a practice that hasn't been ongoing. But if there's been an ongoing crossing permit take place there, that would fall in line, and we have a number of situations. In fact, the agency, I believe the commission's aware of this, we have a temporary crossing permit that we do issue on a regular basis to folks.
Commissioner Perry?
This is on a little bit different topic, Dan. And when the department purchases land, you've mentioned a number of times the 2020 review process, which I'm familiar with, but is there purchases that come up that don't go through that process maybe because of the collaboration between funders and so forth that there's property purchased that does not go through that process?
Not that I'm aware of anymore. When that 2020 process first came into place, there were some projects that were ongoing that were grandfathered in, but everything from that time forward has gone through 2020. That's before. And the beautiful thing of this is we're taking it through this process before we're going for funding, so that we don't find ourselves in the embarrassing position of receiving grant funding to buy a property and not having agency agreement to go forward with the transaction.
Thank you.
Okay. Commissioner Smith.
Yeah, just one other point of clarification for my education. If that property was purchased by a private entity that wanted to put a recreational lodge there because of the, location on the river, it would seem to me that could be much more detrimental to maintaining cattle crossing than having the state own it, because the likelihood of a private party that wanted that for their own 40-acre playground would not be as open as the state would. So in an inverted way, this purchase would be much more beneficial potentially to the cattleman's interest.
Potentially.
Okay. Commissioner Jennings?
Are we ready for a motion?
We are.
I'd like to move to approve the proposed land transaction as presented.
I would second that.
Okay. The motion's been made and seconded by Commissioner Perry to approve the proposed land transactions as presented. Further discussion? I think we want to speak to the topic of giving direction to the agency regarding continued use. Commissioner Duvia?
I just really don't want to, I'd like to make, an indirect policy or something that we would continue allowing access, but I would be hesitant to ask us to put into a forever situation. My comment would be to try to accommodate the current usage if it doesn't interfere with what we're doing, and express that to the appropriate people that so they have comfort. But I don't think we should formally restrict that property at this time.
Okay. Commissioner Perry?
Yeah, I want to follow up on that a little bit. Oftentimes, the routes that cattlemen take to between their permits and so forth are not recorded anyplace. It's historic use, and dependent on what the ownership is. And I would agree with what Mr. Field said, that it would often dramatically impact an operation if that was cut off abruptly for one reason or another. And I guess, Commissioner Duvier pointed out, I would encourage the department to take a look at that and try to accommodate that if it is compatible with the wildlife habitat use of that ground.
Director Anderson?
I just want to let the commission know I obviously heard the concern. We'll take a careful look at that. We'll look for every possible way to get to yes to allow that to continue. We need to talk. We may have already done the research, but need to talk with the current landowner that we're purchasing from, understand the history there, look at where the crossing took place. But as Dan said, we don't have any intention or desire to try to have any harm come to an operation that's been in place there for a long time. So we'll take a careful look at that and try to get to a point where we can continue to have that to occur.
Very good. Okay. Anything further? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Motion carries.
Thank you very much.